We've been looking at how do we ensure safety, how do we ensure the health of the campus, but more importantly, how are we ensuring that we're not having high numbers of individuals simultaneously on the campus.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, we'll check in with the president of SUNY Plattsburgh about how that campus is getting ready for the return of students this fall during the coronavirus pandemic. SUNY Plattsburgh just issued its fall 2020 restart plan. It's a 68-page document outlining physical and procedural changes the college has implemented to make the campus safer. College President Dr. Alexander Agnetti spoke with my colleague, WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley.
What's come to me in emails, students have read it, and there's a lot of feedback that I'm hearing with respect to the plan, and faculty have read it as well. So it appears that we've hit the mark that way. I know that there's extensive amounts in the plan that some folks may not get to, but it's the backup material for those first essentially 13 or 14 pages.
In the plan, in the beginning of the plan, it says that the college is working toward a blended academic delivery model. Can you explain what that means?
When we began thinking about this back on, let's say, April the 13th, we knew that having a regular fall semester with everything in sort of in-person, the term that folks like to use is face-to-face, wasn't going to be possible. The first consideration we had with the plan was going to be health and safety. So we did a quick evaluation of classroom size and space in terms of occupancy, and it was very evident that when we began to take into account social distancing, large classes could not meet in the spaces that we have on campus. So right away we were considering, well, how do we deliver those large enrolled classes in not in real time face to face, but in a virtual or remote way. And so as we began the planning process, we came to the quick realization that a blended semester would mean that students would be experiencing a fall here at SUNY Plattsburgh that would include some face to face, some distance or remote classes, and in some cases what we use is a hybrid where some of the class time would be in a face-to-face situation and the rest of the class would be offered online. And there's really two interesting, impacts of that sort of resulted in. One is it provided students an opportunity to choose, do they want to be exclusively online? Do they want to be more face-to-face? And a few students have asked to be completely face-to-face. And others are opting for the middle ground where they will have perhaps two classes a week that would be in face-to-face and the rest would be remote. So we've achieved our goal of a blended situation with respect to the fall. So that's I appreciate the question. It's very good.
Well, when you take a look at what you've come up with, when colleges and schools were forced to close last spring, how much did you learn from that to hone this new delivery of classes and create these differing forms?
So I would say, and I'm going to just quickly list a few things that we learned very quickly. Many students do not enjoy working in a online or remote modality for their class instruction. And part of that is essentially they chose the residential campus experience because they want to be face-to-face. And so I think that we began to think, well, what elements of the work that we do at SUNY Plattsburgh are critical to maintain in face-to-face? So clinical experiences, laboratory experiences, those hands-on activities really do need a face-to-face component. So that was one of the considerations as our academic leadership group on campus thought about what does the fall look like. So there's been a strong effort to ensure that, for example, if you're a science biology student, you're going to be able to get into a laboratory situation. So understanding right away that online modalities don't work for everyone. The other thing that we learned is that that having never been a completely online institution before, we needed to provide faculty certainly the tools and professional development. And so this has been an ongoing effort throughout the entire summer to provide essentially sessions that our Center for Teaching and Learning have offered to faculty, and offering tools and upgrading some of the technology on campus to be able to support the online portions that we'll be delivering this fall. So I think that the straightforward thing is that students have an opinion, and faculty were in need of some additional resources to help them prepare for the fall. And the last thing I'll mention, Pat, is when we began planning, the first thing we started with was be prepared to go completely remote. So despite everything that you see in the restart plan, SUNY Plattsburgh is prepared day one to be 100% remote, should that be the case.
Dr. Agnetti, the college here at Plattsburgh is also making physical changes to what I believe I've heard you call it COVID capacity in preparation for the students that will be on campus for the in-class experience and the hands-on experience. Can you describe some of the physical changes that you're making?
Sure, and I think that the term COVID capacity or meets COVID capacity is predicated on the understanding that we will adhere to local health department guidelines and the CDC guidelines in terms of spacing between individuals in a specific space. And so our facilities department has done an incredible amount of work the past 2 months to visit every classroom space, do measurements, and remove furniture, chairs, to ensure that when that classroom is used, that every student and the faculty member is going to be appropriately spaced apart from each other. So there's been that aspect of infrastructure modifications have been going on. In open spaces in campus that aren't used for instruction, for example, gathering areas, we have been physically removing chairs, and if things are, you know, attached to the floor, those things have been removed as well, so that now we have the capacity to say that those spaces meet the COVID requirements for social distancing and staying apart. Some of the other infrastructure changes that have occurred is that there were concerns raised about essentially air circulation and air filtration. And so we have essentially upgraded our filtration systems on campus to meet a standard. The terminology is MERV 13, so it's MERV 13. It's the highest. It exceeds the recommended filtration capacity for air handling and air circulation. So all of the buildings on campus will have that MERV 13 rating as well. So that's some of the modifications that have occurred in terms of infrastructure. In addition to that, we are actually building two small rooms adjacent to the health clinic that will help us with triage and meeting with potential student patients who may present with COVID symptoms. And this allows one additional layer of being able to work with students prior to them entering into the clinic. And so that construction is ongoing right now. And I think there's been a little bit of information that's been shared in the media about that development. We're also making, certainly for our staff and employees, there have been physical modifications to workstations. And so all of the work areas on campus have been, again, measured. And if there's, needs to move, those activities have occurred. And also in some areas, there have been plexiglass dividers installed to, keep a space between the employee and if they're interacting with a member of the public. Another activity that's occurred has been a tremendous amount of signage that's been applied to campus. Direction signs, signs on occupancy. So right now, every elevator will only allow two individuals that are on board. Signage with respect to restroom facilities, signage that's involved with respect to how do you enter an office space and what's the best protocol to ensure the safety of the individuals that are working in that particular space. And I think the last modification that we've had, it's more of a policy modification. We have instituted a new policy with respect to face masks and social distancing. The face mask policy is pretty simple. If you're inside a building here on campus, you will be required to maintain your face mask up at all times. And that includes whether you're inside a classroom or in a food service area. The slight modification that if you are working in your office and you're isolated, you're allowed to have that face mask down while you're working alone. But for the most part, the moment you get up from your desk to use the photocopier, mask up. And so that's a new addition to the policies that we have on campus.
So when it does come to masks, especially with students, how does that work in residence halls?
So the residence halls will have the same requirement. So if you are outside of your room, in your residence room, you will be required to have your face mask on. So if you're getting out of your room and leaving to go to class, the moment you step through the threshold of your door, your mask must be up as you traverse the hall and then go down the steps and leave the building. On the exterior campus, the policies indicates that if you are unable to maintain social distancing between individuals outdoors, then you need to have your mask available to wear. And we're following the New York State guidelines on this. And the state has through the Department of Health has made some pretty clear statements with respect to the importance of mask wearing in public. And we're reinforcing those same principles here on campus.
Well, Dr. Agnetti, you're overseeing a youthful population that tends to either in the past they've believed they can't get the virus. We've heard about parties challenging others to get the virus. You know, they're in an age group that can be challenging at times. What do you expect from the students this fall? Do you think they'll take it seriously, or do you think there will be problems enforcing use of masks or social distancing?
So we've actually, thought about that to a great deal on campus. And one of the opportunities that we've got right now, and we're taking advantage of that opportunity, is to provide some messaging and education to our students about the critical importance of adhering to these very straightforward policies of, wearing your mask, ensuring that you're social distancing, limiting your time in large groups, and certainly not gathering in large groups. And we've created the Cardinal Pledge. And the Cardinal Pledge is, again, another mechanism that we provide to students to just keep at the forefront the importance of just following these basic straightforward guidelines. And if we all work together, and we are together in this, we can have a successful semester. Because if we work together successfully, then every student will have the opportunity to not only complete the semester, but continue to make progress towards their degree. And certainly our students that are the seniors this year will have the opportunity to essentially complete their baccalaureate degrees and graduate as part of the class of 2021. The other dynamic to this situation is that I think that we have tremendous student leaders among our senior class. So we're going to be having additional conversations with, seniors on our campus to be our peer leaders in this effort as well. Again, that's the foundational piece of what we're hoping for, is that our students will adhere and take the Cardinal Pledge, but more importantly, they will help with the campus to in many ways ensure the safety and health of everyone, because again, working together, we can assure the success of the entire campus.
Dr. Agnetti, when you take a look at this overall safe restart plan for SUNY Plattsburgh, what's been the most difficult aspect of it to implement?
I would say that the starting point of designing the plan was challenging only because there was so much that we didn't know back in April. And a lot of shifting elements to what was happening, both here in the state, locally in the community, but also nationally with respect to the virus and how the transmission rates were going. In the case of organizing the plan on campus, I have to give a tremendous amount of kudos to the multiple individuals who came together to prepare and think about this plan. As I mentioned at the beginning, those 13 or 14 pages represent hundreds of people's best ideas and thoughts thousands upon thousands of questions and what ifs that have been addressed. And so I would say that the challenging part about the plan hasn't been the implementation. The challenge was making sure that we had, you know, thought about many, many scenarios and be able to bring those into the plan as a workable living document. So we've been able to bring our employees back beginning on June 1st. So we've done a phased return of our employees to campus. We've done all of the COVID preparations for that capacity for the classrooms. Our faculty have done an incredible amount of work to determine which classes will be in that in-person mode and which ones are going to be in the certainly in the remote situation. And, you know, I can just say simply that if we're talking about the total number of classes, we're going to be offering 1,020 classes this fall. And of that, 321 will be in a in-person mode. So just, you know, around 40%. And the important dynamic to our faculty working together to do this is that a typical student, if they have a Monday through Friday schedule, they may only be on campus 1 hour a day each of those 5 days. The important part of that is that our goal has been to reduce the density of the individuals on campus. So we're going to see a much lower level of traffic here on campus than in a typical fall. The other part about the implementation has been being really careful about bringing a large number of individuals back to campus at one time. So we're doing a phased return for our students in the residence halls. And so that's being spread over multiple days beginning on August the 18th. So we essentially through the implementation, we've been looking at how do we ensure safety? How do we ensure the health of the campus? But more importantly, how are we ensuring that we're not having high numbers of individuals simultaneously on the campus?
So the students begin coming back on the 18th. When do classes officially begin?
Classes officially begin on August the 24th.
Okay.
And I think what's another interesting dynamic is that a quarter of SUNY Plattsburgh students are North Country students. Many of them live right here in our community. They are either here in the city or the town or, you know, within Franklin and Essex and Clinton County. So they never left. And then they've been with us throughout the, you know, since we went to remote in March. So I think it's an important, I'll say, fact to remember that a quarter of our students never left. So when someone says, oh, your students are coming back, I always say, well, they've been with us the whole time. And approximately another 200 to 250 international students never left either because of the travel restrictions. So those students have been with us here in the community, and many of them continue to live in the residence halls here on campus. And we have a good number of students who decided to stay in Plattsburgh over the summer and take summer jobs. So the perception that our students have disappeared and now they're all coming back is one that isn't quite accurate. We have a great proportion of our students that still remain with us and have been, and essentially, if you've taken up the opportunity to go to various supermarkets or to restaurants, you've probably discovered that your perhaps the cashier or your server was a SUNY Plattsburgh student who's been working for you during this reopening phase here in with respect to the phase reopening for New York.
Well, Dr. Agnetti, I've spoken with you probably a lot longer than we both planned.
No, this has been, I really appreciate the opportunity. And I want to just emphasize that we've spent a lot of time and thought to prepare this plan. And the very first thought that came to anyone's mind when we began this process is, can we do this in a safe and healthy way? And that has been the foundational, I'll say, the bedrock for developing this plan and being able to construct it. And I'm very proud of the work that everyone on the campus has put into this, and I think it goes back to your original point. I arrived on campus January 21st, and essentially 6 weeks later, we were into the entire COVID event. And so it's been an interesting transition coming to the university. And in many ways, what I've seen and what I've had an opportunity to experience really reinforce why this is a really special university, but also a special community. There's a tremendous amount of goodwill and, I'll say, cooperativity that's going on among the various agents. So I'm having great conversations with the mayor, with the township supervisor, the local health department with John Canoza, and even with CVPH and Dr. Rietzma, who's the resident epidemiologist for the community. Not only are we having conversations, but I've shared with them along the way every aspect of the planning that we're doing and helping and taking their guidance where they see opportunities for us to make even a better plan for our students, for our staff, and for the community. So I appreciate the chance to speak with you.
All righty, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks to my colleague Pat Bradley for doing that interview and to you for listening. Stay safe. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.